The following programming is sponsored by Pete Trabuco. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
And welcome to another edition of Live on Tape with Pete Trabuco on WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio, a Beasley Media Group radio station, Philadelphia. Hello, fellow Philadelphians. How are you doing today? Just having a great day. Saturday afternoon. Boy, what a beautiful day we have out there. A little breezy, but a beautiful day that we have here in sunny Philadelphia. And of course, we're getting psyched about the Eagles. They're doing pretty good. We were all worried about the Eagles not doing so well in the beginning, especially in the beginning when they lost the first game. But we're looking pretty good now going into the next one. So we're really happy there. For those of you that might like the New York Mets, I know it's a bad word in Philadelphia, New York Mets, but they lost obviously. And if you're a Yankee fan, of course, that's another issue. Oh my goodness gracious! Both. The L.A. Dodgers, and I hate the L.A. Dodgers. I mean, I loved them when they were in Brooklyn, but and yes, I was around when they were in Brooklyn. But the thing is, when they moved over, they not only beat the Mets, but they also, beat the Yankees. Now, Philadelphia would have beat them. I'm pretty sure that Philadelphia, if they had made it past the Mets, would have beaten them. So a little depressed about that. The 76ers, not doing so well at this point. The Flyers, they're hanging in there, is pretty good as well. So I guess the only hope we really have here in Philly right now that I think is going to be maybe a Super Bowl, I think, will be the Eagles. And I got Tyler Conklin with me, producer again. Tyler, I tell you, man, I could not do this job without Tyler. He's just an amazing producer. But he doesn't just do this radio station, okay? WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio, the number one talk radio station in Philadelphia. But he does all the other stations that you all listen to, okay? MMR, you've got MGK, you got The Fanatic, you got XTU, you got Ben FM. And Tyler is all over the place. I mean, you look at him, he does a fantastic job. But see, we can't get into the other studios. Okay, I've talked about this before, and it's a gripe, Tyler. Tyler's got the badge. And remember the old movie, We Don't Need No Stinking Badges? Yes. Well, guess what? Tyler's got the badge. He can go to any of those.
Make it happen.
I have a co-host this week, and that's Yaron Urbas, and he is an actor himself. He will be the co-host for this show, and we're just so glad to have him. But Tyler, after the show, right? I know you said you had to leave. He's got a hot date or something. I don't know what's going on there. So can you give us like the tour of the, because we're not allowed to get past here. It's kind of like being in communist Russia or something. We can't get past the wall, okay? Because we don't have the badge that you have, Tyler. So, you think you could show us around a little bit, get us through all these little checkpoints?
I mean, I certainly could, but, you're kind of on, a watch list over here, honestly, You're you're one of those little Roombas that we have to worry about getting to the wrong place.
This is true.
What? Really?
Well, he doesn't. Well, anybody that wants to get into a location like that, I mean, maybe you think I'm like a terrorist. I don't know, something or whatever. They won't allow me into these rooms. The station manager, okay, and that's... Sam Spicer,
it's Laura Lewis.
Laura Lewis, that's right. But Sam also is involved with that. Laura gave me the tour, okay? And when I went into the tour, she basically says, okay, don't touch anything, okay? And when I left, she kind of put me against the wall and just maybe, patted me down to make sure I didn't take anything. So I'm only kidding. That's not true. But so anyway, I just got back from, of course, Nashville, Tennessee. Okay, the Bible Belt, as they say, at the Grand Old Opry Theater. I was up for this show, including you, Tyler. This show was up for Best Radio Program.
How was it?
Well, we lost, Tyler. You weren't there.
What other radio show is like yours?
I don't know. I don't know, but probably better ones. But the bottom line is, we lost. We were finalists. We were a nominee. And it was great. I ended up not having to pay for anything, which is really cool. There was a red carpet, which was cool. I got interviewed by all these radio and television stations across the country. But I'm sure none of it will air now because I lost. Okay. But it was a lot of fun. A lot of country music people. Neil McCoy was there, you know, big time. Tiffany was there. We had Buddy Jewell there from, American Idol, was actually there too as well. So we had some pretty big people there. I was able to talk with them. They were talking with me.
Friends of the shows as well. Twism was there, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, Twism. We had Twism on the show, best rap artist. He didn't make it either. So, we ended up having a loser's party. Or a post party, which was kind of interesting, but it was good. It was good to go down there. Stayed at the Grand Old Opry, Opryland Hotel. This thing is so big. Oh my goodness! It's like the biggest hotel I've ever seen, and it's got like this area in between, like a woods and forest, and they've got like a little, when you go to Las Vegas, you go on the gondola. Well, they had something similar to that in the middle of the hotel. So it was absolutely amazing. We had a great time. The pre-party was fun. I was backstage for the pre-show, and I was basically interviewing a whole bunch of people. They were interviewing me, and these are up-and-coming artists. I mean, these are really good artists. And that was held at the Grand Old Opry Museum. And they got a beautiful, beautiful theater. It's like a 500-seat theater. The day before. So we had all that stuff going on. It was amazing. So I was really, really happy about that. But, you know, we have got two incredible guests here today. Actually, one's a co-host today, okay? So let's go through my co-host who's here today. He's from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Exactly. That 33rd Avenue, Bay Ridge. Yeah, Brooklyn. I don't know where he's actually, but he's a Brooklyn guy.
Gravesend, baby. Gravesend.
Where was it?
Gravesend.
All right, Gravesend.
Hey, I'm a transport. I moved into the community, but I've been there long enough. I hope I get some bragging rights.
Sounds good. Yeah. And that's Yaron Urbas. We are so glad to have him. Actor. I actually did a movie trailer with him, Pickens.
Oh, man.
In which, if you go online, you'll see me and him together. And he's the bad guy in the movie. And I tell you, he is amazing. And that they did pretty well. He was on Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah.
The movie for many years. So for $2.99, you could see Yaron over here get killed at the very end after he does some damage to the other individuals. And I happen to be one of his lackeys or
cohorts.
I wasn't on your level. Okay. I was the guy
going, you were always on my level.
I was the guy going, yeah, boss. Yeah, boss. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, where I got to go, boss. I mean, that was pretty much my character in that movie. But you've done so many stuff. So, and we'll talk about that later. But, sure. You've done some HBO, Showtime. You've done Orange is the New Black.
Yep.
Just so many shows that you've done. So just incredible. And we'll talk about that. But we got somebody. Oh, my goodness. We have somebody that's just amazing. I've been watching him since the 70s, okay? An amazing actor, director, Broadway veteran, game show host. And you might remember him from Three's Company, okay? In which... he had an incredible role there as well. We have Richard Klein on in the studio today. So, Richard, how are you today, sir?
Pete Trabuco, so glad I'm here. I love talking with you, and you're a Philly fan, and I'm not.
No, I wouldn't think that you were a Philly fan, but the bottom line is you're in Philadelphia. Even if I'm not a Philly fan, I have to pretend I am because I'm in Philly.
Okay, so I picked the Eagles in my survivor pool. There's only two of us left out of 16 guys.
Okay.
And I picked the Eagles, so I am rooting big time for the Eagles this weekend.
Okay. Well, there you go.
That matters. That counts.
Definitely does. So Larry Dallas, okay. We got to talk about Three's Company. I mean, I love that show. I grew up with that show. I watched you. You know, there were times I wanted to be you, okay, because you had the best role. I mean, you were there all the time, 180 something episodes, whatever came out to, and you get to work with John Ritter, Joyce DeWitt, and Suzanne Summers.
Wow.
And that must have been an incredible high for you to actually go ahead and do that.
Also working with Norman Fell and Audra Lindley.
And that's right. That's right.
The Ropers.
The Ropers. In fact,
I was blessed to have been a guest star on The Ropers, the spinoff, The Ropers.
That's right.
And somebody told me that, I don't know. it's public knowledge that I was the only actor to be on Three's Company, The Ropers, and Three's a Crowd, the spinoff to
that's what it says on Three's your Wikipedia. Company. Yeah, yeah, that sounds right. That's amazing.
Yeah,
yeah. So
yeah, no, it was quite a thrill, I'll tell you. You know, I mean, I knew Norman Fell as an actor before The Roper. I mean, before Three's Company. You know,
yeah.
I think he was in Bullet with Steve McQueen, and you know, and he was also the landlord in The Graduate with Dustin Hoffman. So I knew of Norman Fell. So yeah, that was a thrill.
That was such a great show, and you had such a great role in it because, you know, I mean, obviously, you were the neighbor, you know, the sleazy little neighbor that would come over all the time, and obviously, it was just a great role for you to be involved in, and you know, of course, we'll talk your Broadway stuff that you've done in Wicked, and by the way, It's a Living. You were on that show as well, which is another big hit with Angillian, and Paul Kreppel was on that show, good friend of mine. What was it like to work with such mega stars? It must have been amazing.
Well, here's a weird thing about It's a Living. Now, Three's Company was filmed before a live studio audience. So there was a show at 5 and a show at 8.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, when Three's Company went off the air, and then, I don't know, shortly after that, I did 3 or 4 It's a Livings, and there was no audience. And that was like, for me, 8 years of listening to live laughter, you know, and then to go on a comedy and have no audience, it was really weird. It was like, you know, are these jokes landing? Mm. You know, am I being funny at all? Because there was no reaction from the audience.
Yeah, the energy. Right?
But
you borrow energy from the audience.
Yeah.
Right.
Paul Kreppel and I go back. My goodness. I mean, way before Three's Company, we were both New York guys, and we both came out to California. And, you know, he's a great guy. I love Paul. And, wow, working with Angillian, yeah, that was pretty cool, too.
So what, you know, I'm sure you've been asked this a million times. I mean, there's got to be some stories, whether it's behind the scenes, Three's Company, just working with, you know, John Ritter and you know, the rest of the cast. I mean, is there anything that sort of stands out that, you know, that you feel comfortable chatting about?
Well, the rehearsal process was kind of epic because John and I just, I don't know, it was like a life's work to crack each other up in rehearsal. We were both huge Jerry Lewis fans, so occasionally we both break out into Jerry Lewis doing the dialogue, like, Jack, come down to the Regal Beagle. Yeah, the lady's there. We're going to have fun. I mean, you know, and just constantly cracking each other. So much to the fact that the director, Dave Powers, who, by the way, directed 11 years of the Carol Burnett Show. So wow. He was a veteran.
Wow.
A great guy. Yeah. And a really low key guy. And so we've been goofing around during rehearsal, and he would occasionally say, guys, should we do this or should we go home?
Sort of losing focus from time to time, I guess, right? But in a good way.
Yeah. So, and, you know, it was great to hear after the fact, after the show closed, that I'd run into actors who have guest starred on the show, and they said, you know, your set was one of the friendliest sets in Hollywood because you guys were always very present there for us and friendly. And it was, you know, and John Ritter, he set the tone because he did not have a massive ego. He was very much an actor's actor. And, you know, that permeated, at least to me, you know, that I knew that I could be real with him. And he was so friendly and outgoing to the people that guested on the show. Because when you guest on a show, you don't know what the heck you're walking into. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after Three's Company and before Three's Company. I mean, Mary Tyler Moore Show was my first show when I came out to California.
Wow.
And, you know, there was Ed Asner and Betty White and Mary and Gavin Cloud and, you know.
You must have been starstruck.
What's it going to be like on this set?
Yeah,
it's a little intimidating. So to hear that actors who guested on our show over the years said, hey, your set was like a really fun set to work on. So that was, you know, that felt good to hear that.
Well, that's really so fantastic. I'll tell you, we are now, for those just joining the show, we are talking with actor, director, Broadway veteran, game show host, been on, you might remember from a few shows, including Three's Company. We have Richard Klein, and we'll be back with Live on Tape right after this. Each year, 5,000 people, including children, choke to death. LifeHack can stop these senseless tragedies. It's so easy to use also. Simply place the mask over face, push and pull. You'll never regret having a LifeHack in your home or office. Please visit LifeHack.net today to protect you and your loved ones. Or you can call them at 877-LIFEVAC. That's 877-LIFEHACK.
My name is Corporal Bradley Joseph Seitz.
Jerry Reed.
Kate Weber.
These are real veterans facing a real challenge.
I have PTSD.
And I have PTSD.
I have PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder can happen to anyone.
I was still in a war zone in my mind.
But treatment can turn your life around.
Treatment has really saved my life.
To learn about PTSD and how treatment can help you, call your local VA medical center or visit ptsd.va.gov.
Welcome back to Live on Tape on WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio, Philadelphia. Pete Tribuco here with, of course, Tyler Conklin and co-host Yaron Rabas. But before we get to that, we got to do this commercial because these guys are great, okay? Now, I want to introduce you to, if you've not heard it on my show before, World Star Public Relations, where excellence meets exposure. Now, are you ready to elevate your brand to new heights? So, well, our team of dynamic public relations experts is here to make your story shine bright on the global stage. Whether you're a startup, an established artist, business, or a rising star, they specialize in crafting narratives that captivate and campaigns that really do resonate. World Star Public Relations, your passport to the world of unparalleled visibility and success. So join the ranks of those who've already made headlines. Choose World Star Public Relations and let your story take center stage. That number, 631-506-6600, 631-506-6600. And one last thing, World Star Public Relations down in Nashville won for Best Public Relations Media Company. So they actually won the award, which I, of course, lost, which is not a lot of fun there.
You're associated with winners. That's the key.
This is true. I am. Well, I got you in here.
Oh.
Okay. We have our guest host, I guess. Yaron Rabas, who's an actor, director, done everything himself as our co-host today. And of course, we've got, you know, the incredible Richard Klein, actor, director, Broadway veteran, game show host, did a whole bunch of things. Three's Company, obviously, he was a regular on Three's Company with Suzanne Somers and Joyce DeWitt and John Ritter playing, of course, the sleazy neighbor, Larry Dallas. And of course, he did It's a Living. I could just go on and on. So we're just so happy to have you, Richard. My question, I know before the break we were talking about what it was like to be in the room working with John, and you told me that John was a really, really an incredible person, down-to-earth person. Did you get starstruck at all?
What, working with John?
Yeah, did you get starstruck? I mean, this guy is like, he's like pretty big. I mean, he's a comedian, he's an actor. And
No, Pete, listen, when I joined the show, it was only the fourth show that they ever did. It, you know, it hadn't even aired yet because, you know, you tape in advance.
Okay.
So nobody knew that Three's Company was going to be a mega hit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. So there was no reason for me to be starstruck because we all weren't stars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. You
know, it only happened. When the show started vaulted to number one, and then, you know, there were TV guide covers and the whole, you know, People Magazine, the whole publicity machine rolled out. So no, I was not starstruck.
You know, Richard, I think one thing that people don't realize, first of all, I want to say something real quick. I love the fact that you were on set and you guys treated like co-stars and guest stars really well. Because myself as an actor, you never know what you're going to get. You walk in there, you're a co-star, you're there for a day if you're lucky, just for the audience out there that's not familiar with the insides of the business. And, you know, so it's cool that you guys just treated the one-day people and the guest star people that might have been there for a week or two tops and would just, you know, just like equals. That's a beautiful thing. You know, I think that's awesome, you know.
It's good karma. Karma.
Absolutely. You know, Richard, you've been, Three's Company's been awesome and good, and you're an American icon, so's the show, but you never stopped working. I mean, you just kept going and going and going, which doesn't always happen. You managed to get work in a bunch of other shows, but you did, I mean, talk about some of the other stuff too. I mean, you even did talk shows, you did game shows, you did a bunch of, right?
Let me talk to that because, you know, doing a role on a sitcom for 8 years, there's a massive danger of being typecast. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that the aftermath of Three's Company, when my agents would submit me for something, there probably was a backlash that, no, he's too recognizable as this character, whatever. But fortunately, because of my training, you know, I'm university trained actor and studied in New York and Los Angeles. I was able to do other things, you know, dramatic things. One of my favorite guest stars was on St. Elsewhere, for example, and also most recently, of course, recurring as a judge on Blue Bloods, and also doing three or four episodes of The Americans with Kerry Russell.
Oh, yeah.
And Matthew Rhys, So, and then all the theater work. Because, I mean, I'm basically, people say, what do you like best, theater, TV, or movies? And I have to say theater because I'm really energized by 8 shows a week or whatever it is going out. And the hardest thing to do is to make a live audience laugh. I got to tell you that.
Yeah.
So, but.
I agree.
You know, that experience. Yeah,
I definitely agree with you on that. But I want to go through this whole list of here, okay? But you have done so much stuff, not just Three's Company. I'm just looking at the list. Executive Suite, Serpico, The Mary Tyler Moore Show, Eight is Enough, Ferwin Tonight, Seventh Avenue, Maude, of course, Three's Company, America Tonight, The Ropers, Love Boat, Three's a Crowd, Hotel, It's a Living, You Again, Mercy Road. I can go on and on
Silver
and on.
Silver Spoons. The Hendersons.
Exactly. I can go on. You had, you know, the question was basically, you know, the typecast. Well, guess what? You were definitely not typecast. You did all those shows. It's just an amazing, amazing accomplishment to have been able to do that. And you're still working, even today. And you've got other businesses that you're doing, in fact. So, man, You're like the ever-ready battery. You just don't stop.
I can attest to that. Richard, keep going.
And Pete, I know you said that you were around for the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I'm still older than you.
There we go. Now we're dating ourselves. There we go.
Well, it doesn't show.
I was a Willie Mays fan. You know, I was a New York Giants fan.
Okay.
And I went to the freaking Polo Grounds. I mean, that's how, you know, ancient I am. And when they left, I was heartbroken as the Brooklyn Dodger fans were heartbroken. So obviously I generated towards the Mets because they were the only National League team left.
Yeah, you're right.
In the city, you know, and they were awful for so long. And when they won the World Series in 69?
That's right. Yeah. That was the Miracle Mets, 69.
I was in the Army. I was at Fort Ord, California, and watching it on TV there. And of course, nobody watching it was like a New York Mets fan. And I was like screaming my head off. But
you were the one guy in the crowd?
Yeah. One guy in the crowd in California was like weird.
So you just mentioned your service. First of all, thank you for your service, Richard.
You're welcome.
Yeah. You rise to the rank of lieutenant. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I was just actually a first lieutenant in Vietnam, which is like the kiss of death. But fortunately, I was in support. I was not in combat. I was not in the field.
Mm-hmm.
But, I was in a base camp that was rocketed like 2 times a week.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
So, you weren't really safe there. Although it might have been safer than certain parts of New York in the 70s, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, it was pretty rough back then.
That was a joke, Pete. But,
yeah, no, I get okay. it. I totally that's get it. Right. I lived through some of it as a child, but yeah absolutely.
It was a joke, and it got nothing.
Is this thing on? Is this thing on?
Crickets, right? Crickets.
Crickets is right. Yeah.
So I got to ask this question because I've done some off-Broadway stuff. I do theater, and like you, I like theater better because when you do television, and I've been a few things, Nurse Jackie, I did something there as well, a few other things, and it takes a long time to get everything set up to do a really quick shot. I think the shot that we had, at the table, myself and your own, it took like 30 minutes to do a 30-second scene. And I loved theater because there's no going back, right? You're on stage. And you played the Wiz.
Right.
You played the Wiz in Wicked. And what was that like? It's so totally different than the character you had on It's a Living. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Wizard, by the way, not the Wiz.
The Wizard. I'm sorry. That's right.
American show.
Cricket. Hey,
more crickets.
Hey,
more crickets.
Okay, right. More crickets on that. No, that's fine. Well, when I said the Wiz, I meant the Wiz. I went the Wizard. Wizard. I meant the Wizard. Come on.
No, it's all good.
But seriously.
I know you did. I'm just busting you. I'm just busting your chops.
Okay. So you and Paul Kreppel
had. That was a spectacular.
Yes. What? You and Paul Kreppel had the same role, and I tell you, and I saw it way back when. You had two songs you have to sing in that show, in addition to the acting part.
Right.
So you're also a singer as well. What was that like?
Absolutely, I've done musicals, and so has Paul. The latest musical I did was Waitress. I did that on tour and then on Broadway.
Wow.
I had one song. I had one song in Waitress, and two songs. You're right, two songs in Wicked.
Yes,
and that was it was just so much fun. Have you seen the show? Did you see the show?
Wicked. Oh yeah,
Wicked. I've seen
Wicked
the show.
Was amazing.
I've seen the show several times. In fact, we've had several actors that have been in that show and the national tour as well as in Broadway that actually have come into the studio.
Yeah,
just an amazing show. It's one of my favorite. The music is incredible. Your role, when you play the Wizard, that makes or breaks the show. Joel Grey did it the first time, and I saw him on Broadway doing it. And I tell you. I got to be honest, Joel's great, but Paul was fantastic. I'm sure you're on the same level as those guys. It's just an amazing, the music is just absolutely, totally amazing. So for those of you just joining us, we are talking with Richard Klein, actor, director, Broadway veteran, game show host, been on so many different things, and you might remember him as Larry Dallas on Three's Company, and we'll be back with Richard right after these messages.
Each year, 5,000 people, including children, choke to death. LifeVac can stop these senseless tragedies. And it's so easy to use as well. Simply place the mask over the face and push and pull. You'll never regret having a LifeVac in your home or office. Please visit their website at www.lifevac.net today to protect you and your loved ones. Or you can call them at 877-LIFEVAC. That's 877-LIFEVAC.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
My message to veterans, active duty, retired, is that really seriously look at the VA home loan program. I've done it 3 times now, so I'm a repeat customer. We found a house here that we felt be a great environment for our children to grow up in. It has been transformational to my family.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
And hello, everyone. everybody, live on tape with Pete Tribuco here at WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio Philadelphia. Beautiful Saturday afternoon. Can't ask for a better day than we have here today. Great guests. Of course, I've got my co-host, Yaron Urbas, who basically is an actor. He's done so much stuff. You've seen him on television, Orange is the New Black, and I can go on and on of all the things that he's actually done. But we have an amazing actor. He's on everything. Directing, singing, game show host, just incredible. Richard Klein is with us today. And you might remember him when he played Larry Dallas on Three's Company, but he also did so much. I read the list before and I couldn't even get through it. It would take the entire show to get through all the stuff that he has done. Richard is with us today. And we were talking about the difference between theater, and, you know, on film. Did you have any issues or was there anything that really bothered you about either one of those, Richard, when you were doing it? So you did it so much, but which one gave you the hardest time, film or theater?
Well, film is really tough. You know, I also teach acting, which, you know,
that's right.
Your own knows that, but, mm-hmm. I tell them, when you're doing film, you know, there's take after take after take, and you have to have the energy for each take and the emotional commitment for each take to make it, you know, believable.
Yeah.
And that's really tough. Like you said before, Pete, you know, once you do it on stage, you can't go back, you know, so it's a challenge and a challenge that I welcome and other theater actors, I assume, welcome too. That's not to denigrate film, you know, I mean, please. Yeah. I mean, all the stuff that I've done on camera is still paying off in what they call residuals. Cha-ching! Mm-hmm. And so, no, but, you know, it takes a different kind of technique to do film. And it's and also, like you said, it takes 30 minutes to do a 3-minute scene, whatever. Yeah, you're sitting in your trailer, you know, you have an 8 o'clock in the morning or a 7 o'clock in the morning call. You don't get to the set till 11. Then they light you. Then they go back to the trailer and you wait another hour or so. By the time you shoot the scene, it's already lunch.
Oh my goodness.
So that's, you know, that's the story of film acting, but look, you know, it's all grist for the mill. It's all helps to pay some people's mortgages.
Absolutely.
I mean, the nuances to what we call civilians, people outside of the industry. So, Richard, like, you know, and talk to it more as you like, but like the idea of keeping the same energy, keeping the same emotions when you're on film, mm-hmm. versus doing that on stage. I mean, that's where the craft, there's a lot of people are like, I can be an actor, I can do this. But that's where the expertise and the professionalism, and also being the fact that you're a, you know, you run an acting studio and you share this knowledge with your students. I mean, feel free to talk about that a little bit, about how to maintain that energy on, you know, on camera between those rests.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, any actor worth his salt has mastered the technique of the craft. It's a technique. It's just like, you know, rehearsing and learning your lines and whatever is the job before you even step before the camera or on stage. It's preparation. It's all about preparation. It's like you talk to, I actually met Freddie Couples once at the golfer, Freddie, you know, legendary golfer.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, how do you learn all those lines? I said, well, it's preparation. And, you know, and he says, well, what do you mean? I said, well, Freddie, how many golf balls do you hit in the golf on the driving range before you go to the first tee? And he says, thousands. I said, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You know, the other thing is my TV experience or my film experience, if you don't get the lines correct, like totally correct, they stop it and they say, oh, you got to redo it over. You got to do it over. No, you got to do it over. You missed a word there. You did that, whatever. Now that's film.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
yeah.
Theater. I love theater because I could just go off, man, you know, and just sort of like, you know, and it's not a problem. In fact, I might even get a better laugh if I improvise slightly on the lines. And the only people that know I messed up are going to be the director and of course the playwright who wrote it.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes like the playwright comes over. I did a few shows with, you know, the off-Broadway stuff where it was, they were doing it, and I did it slightly different, and the playwright comes over. I thought I was going to get yelled at. And he comes over and says, let's put that in the script. Wow. I like the way that was done. So that's the other thing about theater is that you can get away with a few other things as opposed to, you know, to basically in film, a TV where you really got to get it right. And you got it right every time. I've been watching you for years. So just an incredible journey that you're continually having. We got a little time before the next break. Let's talk about you teaching acting. I want to know more about that program that you're doing now. So go right ahead.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you how this came about. I worked for Burt Reynolds at his theater in Florida, in Jupiter, Florida, Burt Reynolds Dinner Theater, as an actor. And then I did two shows for him. And after the second show, he says, you feel like you want to direct? And I said, yeah, that would be fun. And he had a program down there every year for apprentices. And they were basically college students who, you know, built scenery and ran scenery. And maybe even they occasionally got a walk-on or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, you know, every year we do a show for the apprentices. And this year we're going to do Crimes of the Heart, which was a very successful stage show and also a movie, I think, with Diane Keaton. But anyway, I said, yeah. So I directed that. And I really got the directing bug. Mm. And then when I went back to Los Angeles, Burt's people called me and said they'd like me to direct Evening Shade, which I did, the fourth show they ever did, which was astounding. And then it's an easy transition from directing to teaching. And I said, you know, maybe I'll start teaching. So it was like 1998, I think, I started classes in Los Angeles. And then when I moved to New York or New Jersey in 2005, I continued teaching in the city. I have a studio between 7th and 8th on 29th Street in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And during the pandemic, I taught on Zoom like everybody was doing virtual teaching. And so, yeah, I really enjoy it. It keeps me sharp as an actor. And of course, you know, Pete and Yaron, I love to impart the whatever wisdom I've managed to glean over the years, you know, as a working actor in New York and Los Angeles. So, and so that's an added bonus for the students, because there's an expression saying, well, those who don't act teach. Well, I happen to be a person who actually continues to act and teach at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm kind of proud of that.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I mean, I worked with a lot of acting coaches.
And
yeah.
If I was a student looking for an acting teacher, I certainly would like to work with a teacher who's actually been in the business and knows the business. And it's also a very, very fine line when you say teaching. You don't want to come off as quote unquote a guru, you know, like, you know, everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very collaborative thing with me. I don't lay down the law for them. I say, let's work on this together and let's get to the truth of what's going on here.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know, I think I told you, Ron, if I ever wrote a book on acting, because there's 4,000 books on acting, it would only be a 3-word book. And the book would be called Listen and React. Because that's what you do in real life. Person talks to you, you either nod your head or you shake your head or you respond verbally. But that's the whole idea of acting, is to listen to what the other person is saying and react. I know it sounds simplistic, but believe me, it really is an important element in learning how to act.
No, it's powerful. I think a lot of skills are built on nuances. And the idea of listening and reacting as an actor, I mean, that's it. And that's the core. I mean, it gets, you know, it is more complicated, but master that first and you can build from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, because, you know, because there's so many, look, I've read so many books about acting, and it can make your mind into spaghetti, you know, because there's so many things. It's like a golf swing, you know. How's your grip? How's your stance? Did you turn your shoulders? Did you clock your wrist? Blah, 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 blah. By the time you hit the ball, if you're thinking about that when you're about to hit the ball, you ain't going to hit the ball good.
You're done.
Because you're going to be too wrapped up. You're done.
You're done. Yeah, that's history. And so, put a fork in me. I'm done, you know? Yeah.
Exactly.
Now listen, we talked about the acting. How does one get into your acting class? I mean, is it online? Do you do it in person? What's the website? We'll talk about it later, but I want to make sure we get it in now.
Thank you. It's online.
Okay.
And it's on my website, RK Workshops. No, I'm sorry.
Richard Klein. Yeah, let me help out. Because I know it because I'm a student. There it is. RichardKlein.tv. RichardKlein.tv. Make sure to spell the last name right. K-L-I-N-E. RichardKlein.tv.
Got it. You know, I think I'm going to become a student too as well. I tell you, man, because I definitely need the work. You know, I'm part of, what was it, a CRP. Oh, CRS, actually. Can't remember. You know what I mean. It's okay. I'm noticing now, whenever they want me, I tell them, listen, 100 lines or less. That's it. You give me a role, I want 100. I'm doing Tarzan at one of the college places, whatever. And I'm like, they wanted to give me the lead, and I'm like, no, first of all, I'm not going to be the professor, the old guy. You know,
what's that Adonis body?
Exactly,
that you have?
Man. Less than 100 lines. Maybe Richard, you could help me with that because I can't remember anything anymore. So, and you're still doing it. How are you doing it?
Yeah. You know, I understudied or stood by, as they say, for Nathan Lane on Broadway in a David Mamet play called November.
Uh huh.
It was about 10 years ago. And I wasn't young then either. But anyway, there was 133 pages of dialogue.
Oh, my. And,
because he's on stage. Yeah, he's on stage all the time. And, you know, I just had to do it. They were paying me to do it. I had to do it. So, you know, every night I would run the lines with the other standbys or do it at home. Yeah, it's like I said before, Pete, if you want to memorize – Michael Caine has a story where he goes over his lines before he goes on set, like almost 100 times.
Wow.
He just keeps repeating the lines. So when he gets in front of the camera, he doesn't have to think about memorizing the lines. He doesn't have to think about what's my next line because he's done it so many times.
I've heard the same about Anthony Hopkins.
I mean, I don't know if that helps. The only other thing I could say, Pete, is, you know, get yourself tested by a neurologist.
That's what my wife says. My wife says, you know, I think you got a little bit of the senility or whatever, you know, coming because it's stupid. I mean, I can't remember phone numbers. Somebody gave me a phone number and I'm like, what was that number? I just totally forgot. Where's my keys?
I can't even find my car. I can't even find my car. And it's the size of a car. So no, you're good.
Well, it's great. I mean, it's funny. And when we get back, we're going to take a break in about 30 seconds or a minute. But I wanted to talk about also the fact that when you're in that room with these people and you're talking with them and you're going over that, and they change the script all the time. I'm sure on Three's Company, you got a script. And then all of a sudden, it changed. And all of a sudden, they give you new stuff. I know it happens on soap operas all the time. Where they change the script on you immediately, and you got to memorize that stuff. So when we get back from break, I want you to I'll answer that question because that's a biggie. So you're listening right now to Live on Tape, and of course we've got Richard Klein, actor, director, Broadway veteran, game show host, does everything. Got his own. I guess he can teach you to act as well. We'll talk about that. We'll be back with Live on Tape with Pete Tribuco and Yaron Orbas, right after this. Each year, 5,000 people, including children, choke to death. LifeVac can stop these senseless tragedies. It's so easy to use also. Simply place the mask over face, push and pull. You'll never regret having a LifeVac in your home or office. Please visit LifeVac.net today to protect you and your loved ones. Or you can call them at 877 LifeVac. That's 877 LifeVac.
It started with the original care package, helping survivors in the aftermath of World War II. And for almost 80 years, CARE has been delivering hope around the world in the form of supplies to those in crisis, combating climate change, and generating solutions to the world's biggest problems. Our story for a better world is only starting. Join us to secure a better future for her at care.org.
Welcome back to Live on Tape with Pete Tribuco here at WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio, Philadelphia. Beautiful Saturday afternoon here. And I just want to, I talk about them all the time. They're just a fantastic group. And that is, of course, World Star Public Relations, where, well, where basically you can get pretty much anything you need, excellence exposure and things along those lines. And they're ready to elevate your brand to new heights. Their team of dynamic public relations experts is here to make your story shine bright. Right on the global stage. And that's whether you're a startup, established artist, or a business that's rising. They specialize in crafting narratives and captivate and campaigns that resonate. So WorldStar PR is your passport to the world of unparalleled visibility and success. So join the ranks of those who already have made headlines, and a lot of them have been on this show. Choose WorldStar Public Relations and let your story take center stage. That number, 631-506-6600. I almost sound like a disc jockey now. And that number is 631-506-6600. World Star PR. They're just an amazing group. I am here with Yaron Urbas, who is our co-host. How you doing over there?
I'm feeling great. I'm doing great. Thanks to you, man. This is fun.
Yeah,
having a heck of a time.
I tell you, you know, the people that basically, you know, and you're an actor, just like our guest, we'll introduce him again. You're an actor doing this type of stuff. So radio's different, isn't it? It's a little different.
It is different because I'm a very animated person. So it's kind of, I have to remind myself, folks can't see me. I need to say it more for them to hear it. Okay. So yes, that feels new and different. Totally. Yeah.
Well, I tell you one thing, for someone who's not done it that much, you can be live on tape with Yaron Urbas and get me out of here.
No, let's keep you in here, brother. Let's keep this going.
Now, we got a fantastic actor, director, Broadway veteran, game show host, and he's also got his own, you know, if you want to learn acting online, you can also do that. Again, it's Richard Klein. You might remember him. I know I do. From Three's Company with Suzanne Summers, Joyce DeWitt, and John Ritter. He played Larry Dallas, you know, the kind of sleazy, weird a neighbor that would always pop in, and he had the best lines, too, as well, when it came to the show. I mean, it was always the nice lines. We were talking prior to about how they changed the script on you. And I know, Yaron, you've got a story on that, too, as well. But what's it like when you're sitting in that room? I guess you're doing your walkthrough. You know, you're at the table, and you're doing the table read. And then all of a sudden, like 5 minutes before you go on, they go and they say, oh, well, we want you to say this. So this is the script now. How did you handle that, Richard?
Well, that is a given process with a sitcom. You go in on Monday, you do a table read in the afternoon, you start blocking the show, and then the writers come down with new pages. And it's funny because it starts out white pages, and then it's like it goes blue and gold and green and red, whatever. So they're constantly changing the page. And not only that, when you go to tape, and we taped on Fridays, on the set, after you shoot a scene, they might come over to you and the director might come over and say, okay, we want you to say this, just this one line here or two lines. And so it's like instantaneous and you do it. You just do it. I don't know what to tell you, but you do it. So, but that is very common in shooting sitcoms. I haven't seen it that much in dramatic stuff that I've done, but it's, you know, in a sitcom, there's a group of, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 writers. They're all sitting in a room with pizza and Coca-Cola trying to figure out what's the funniest thing to say on the show. And so that's the process. It's all about how can we get the ultimate laugh out of this particular scene or this particular line. So, yeah, that's, you just have to get used to that. Well, and sitcoms that I've done after Three's Company were the same deal. You know, I did a couple of pilots. I was a regular on Inside Schwartz with Breckin Meyer and you know, for NBC. And yeah, every taping, you do a scene and then the director come over and give new lines to people. And you have to learn them on the spot.
What about improv? Did you ever have room for improv on News Company or other? Okay.
No, nothing. No. Especially Three's Company. These guys were the producers of All in the Family and the Jeffersons. Mm. They wrote for All in the Family and then they gave them their own show. They called Nichols, Ross and West. Mickey Ross was the head. And so they were producers for the Jeffersons and then they segued to Three's Company. And they were like the three gods of comedy. Nobody improv. You might suggest a line. You might say, "Can I say this here?" And then they consider it, and you know, go to the Holy Grail committee, and then they come back and say, "No, we don't think that's funny," or "Yeah, use that, whatever." So it was a very tight ship as far as what you said. You know, the script.
You know, I would find that so nerve-wracking, okay? Like I said, that's one reason I love theater is because if you flub a line or you do something, you can recover. Or the actor on stage will recover for you and get you back on, you know, back on the same thing. That would scare the dickens out of me because it's like, you know, we're changing the lines right now and I'm in the middle. I got all these cameras. And that's the other thing I noticed. All the cameras on you and everything and all the different angles. The lighting is there. You got that script writer looking at the script while you're doing this. It's kind of like being in a test. Okay, I want you to pass the test. I'm looking at the script and you better do it right or I'm going to say, no, we're doing it again. Mm-hmm. So that's the other thing I really, really would be, you know.
Well.
Yes, go ahead.
Pete, you want to hear frightening?
Yeah.
Okay. I was doing Henry V, Shakespeare play.
Oh, my goodness.
At the Folger Theater in Washington, D.C., okay?
Uh-huh.
And one night, they had a group of Japanese Shakespearean whatever scholars.
Uh-huh.
And they were sitting there and with the book open, with the Shakespeare book open, probably in Japanese, but that doesn't matter. So I would glance down and I would see them, like some of them have their heads buried in the script. It was like, am I saying the right line? And it was Shakespeare.
You know, oh my goodness.
You can't improv Shakespeare.
No.
You know? No. That was maybe the most frightening night of theater I ever had.
I would think that would definitely be frightening. First of all, doing Shakespeare, you have to be a great actor or actress to do Shakespeare. I mean, you can get away with the other stuff, but really it's going to be very, very difficult to do. We got about 2 minutes left. So I want to go over where they can find you again. And Yaron, you're good at this too. Sure. Where we can find Richard Klein and maybe take some lessons in acting from someone who has an amazing career that even continues today. So Philadelphians, you don't have to go in person to see Richard. You could actually go online and learn a lot of acting traits. And this is what, 30, 40 years of acting experience. So what was that that website again and everything?
Yeah. So Richard, that's right? RichardKlein.tv.
Yeah.
That's RichardKlein.tv. And that's your acting studio. And again, I'm a little, you know, I've been a student. So I definitely would highly recommend working with Richard, of course. Do you want to add anything to that, Richard?
I want to add that you designed the website so beautifully. I highly recommend Yaron if you want to get your website marketing done. Oh, I'm serious.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard.
You did a fantastic job.
And what is your website, young man?
Yes, I run a marketing company. I do digital marketing. I help businesses and talent grow and develop their brands. So, yes, you can go to yummymediaagency.com.
Very good. Well, thank you so much. And that about wraps it up for Life on Tape. Thank you. Enjoy the afternoon, folks, and we'll talk to you again next week.
there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to afreserve.com for more information.